The Surreal Marriage, an original study in psychological values written by Elwood Hoffman of the CBS Division of Program Writing, directed by Werner Michel, and presented by the Columbia Workshop. Literally expressed, surrealism means super-realism. Well, this goes beyond the photographic likeness, or here, beyond the phonographic likeness of things and persons, and seeks to capture their invisible and inaudible qualities. It's realism, as ordinarily understood, plus overtones and deeper meanings. We're concerned here with George and Martha and their marriage. They're sitting in their living room all afternoon around the telephone, waiting for it to ring. The Surreal Marriage.
Esther, Esther, that violin.
George. George, what are you doing?
I'm proud of my little sister playing so beautifully.
George, aren't you going to answer me? What are you doing there? Hello? Hello? Yes, this is George. All right, I'm not George. I'm his mother. No, I'm his wife. Oh, you're the woman who keeps calling George all the time. I knew he was waiting for you to call. George, George, don't you dare answer that telephone. George, do you hear me?
Yes, Mother, I hear you. Yes, I love you. Love you.
And I love you, George. I love you.
Stop, Esther. Besides, you'll never learn to play the violin. Why don't you give it up?
Don't be mean, George. Be a good brother. Be nice, like you are to Martha.
That's different. Someday I'm going to marry Martha.
George, George, what are you doing?
Don't touch that phone, Martha. Don't touch it. It's for me. Louise is calling me, not you.
Oh, George, don't give me that blank stare. I know why you're sitting there, waiting and waiting, that's what. The phone will ring, and then you'll go out.
No, Martha, I was just sitting.
George, don't lie to your mother. You know what happens to little boys who lie. Yes, Mommy. They get their mouths washed with soap. The devil gets them, and they have to go without supper.
You're a terrible liar, George. Oh, I don't see why I married such an untalented man. Well, sit and wait for the phone to ring. See if I care.
I love you, George.
Let me alone, Esther. You're only 9. I love Martha. She's 14. I'm going to marry her.
Louise, Louise, it's wonderful to hear from you. Martha's been a devil all day. I've been sitting waiting for you to call.
I don't see why I married such an untalented man. Well, sit and wait for the phone to ring and see if I care.
Oh, Martha, that's silly.
Silly, is it? Oh, I know how you've been carrying on lately.
Martha, we can't go on this way. I love you, love you. Have to tell George. Get a divorce. Get married.
Now, George, why should I expect a phone call?
How funny. 40 years old, married 19 years, has to dye her hair and got a brand new boyfriend.
Suppose you think it couldn't happen.
Martha, you ought to get around more. Take your brother's advice. Meet more men. Find out a few things.
Only one thing I want to do with my life, Gerald. Spend it with George. I'm learning to play the piano because he wants me to.
Pretty soon you'll be able to play a duet with my sister.
Please, please let Henry call me now. Let him call me and show this stupid man that I'm still beautiful. Let him call and show that somebody still wants me.
Oh, let's not argue this way, Martha. Let's not behave like children.
George, how many times do I have to tell you not to hit your sister? That's what she gets for spying on me. You were trying to get your father's shotgun again. You'll have to be punished. You'll be sorry, Mother. You'll be sorry. Go to sleep, my baby. My baby. Go to sleep, my baby. Go to sleep, Georgie. Mother's here. Oh, Georgie! What have you done? You killed your father! With his own gun.
Oh, I know you'd like to have me out. Look at me. Someday you'll just take that shotgun of
yours. Martha, don't say that. You know I wouldn't do anything like that.
Then why do you get so upset when I mention it?
It's just the idea, that's all. You know I couldn't kill anything or anybody.
Martha, do you like the new dog your father brought you?
Mother, he's so big. So big, he scares me.
Now, darling, there's nothing to be afraid of.
But I am afraid, Mother. Afraid he'll bite me. You nasty, mean dog. Nasty, nasty dog. I'll kill you. Kill you.
The truth is, you're probably a lot more sadistic than I am, Martha.
There's no necessity to say cruel things, George.
Oh, what's the use? Always these silly arguments. I tell you, I was just sitting here looking out the window and watching the people go up and down the street.
Watching to see if Louise Fowler would pass by, is that it?
What did you say, dear?
Oh, don't pretend you didn't hear me. I said Louise Fowler.
Why would I watch for Louise Fowler?
Oh, George, don't be such an obvious dissembler. You know very well you can't hide anything.
Hello. This is Louise Fowler. Is Martha there?
This is George, Louise. Martha's not in. We don't see much of you these days. You ought to drop in more frequently. In fact, you're always welcome in this house, Louise.
George, I really believe you mean it.
Oh, I mean more than I'm saying, Louise. I mean much more, much more, much, much, much.
Esther, I want you to meet Louise Fowler. I want the woman I love to meet my sister. Oh, you'll like each other, I know.
Who's Louise Fowler, George?
She's a woman I'm going to meet 30 years from now. Beautiful, charming, friendly. Say hello to her, Esther.
How do you do, Louise?
Say hello to my sister, Esther, Louise. But I can't, George. I'm not born yet.
Then Louise and I'll never meet, Georgie. Because I'll be dead before Louise is born. Oh, George, I'll be dead before your darling Louise is born.
Oh, no. No, Esther. I loved you so. You were my only friend. You can't be dead, Esther. You can't be dead. You can't be dead.
After all, George, it's fairly obvious why you like Louise Fowler. She's the spitting image of your sister Esther. All grown up and not dead.
I don't see any resemblance.
Well, I do, and I spent as much time with Esther as you did.
Wouldn't it be wonderful to see her again?
You can't call back the dead.
I despise you when you say things like that.
How dreadful if Esther could see you now, bald, getting fat, daydreaming all the time.
What do you think of my brother George, Martha?
He's beautiful. He has a white soul, and sometimes it's pale yellow. George is like flowers. I'm going to marry him.
I wrote a song about George. I'm going to play it at your wedding. It starts like this. Once there was a prince and a princess. They were blue and pink.
Point in carrying this argument any further. I'm going to fix some tea, George. Would you like some?
Yes, this is silly. I'd like some tea.
Maybe there's some cookies left. You know, the chocolate kind you like.
Mother, I'm hungry. Can I have some chocolate candy? You've eaten so much chocolate today, George. Where do you put it all?
I hide it inside.
Well, we'll get something when the train pulls into the next station. Gee, we're going off fast, Mother. One and one is one, and one is two, and one is three, and one is four, and one is five. It's great to be alive. Mother, Mother, I'm falling, Mother. Mother, where are you?
There you are, George. Just the kind of cookies your mother used to make.
I don't think I want any cookies now, Martha. But I would like some tea.
Oh, relax and eat. Don't let your anxiety about the telephone upset your stomach.
I tell you, I'm not waiting for that telephone to ring. It's you that's waiting.
I'm not waiting.
Hello, Martha. It's me, Henry. Have you told George about us? Oh, but if you haven't, I love you, and I want him to know I love you. I want him to give you a divorce so I can marry you. He's got to give you a divorce.
I wish we could forget about that telephone business. You suspicious of me and me suspicious of you. There's no one going to call me.
And no one's going to call me.
Well, then let's relax. Pour me another cup of tea.
Sure. And have another cookie. What do you think of that? The phone did ring.
And maybe you'd better answer it.
No, it's probably for you. You answer it.
No, you answer it.
Well, if you won't answer it, then somebody's got to. Hello? Hello? There's something silly about this. There's no one on the line.
There's got to be. Here, let me try it. Hello? Hello? You're right. There's nobody on the line. I guess we're hearing things.
But I would have
sworn. I can't endure sitting around here a minute longer. I'm going out for a walk. Martha, aren't you going to answer me? What are you doing there?
Your brother?
Martha, what do you mean, saying things like that to your brother?
But it's true, Mother.
You have got a silly little mind, and you're too young to know anything about these things.
But I hate you.
Martha? Arthur, what are you doing?
I'm just sitting, George. Just sitting, looking out the window.
Phone didn't ring while I was gone?
I thought you weren't waiting for a call.
Well, I am, if it makes you any happier.
I thought so. Well, we might as well be honest. I'm waiting for a call, too.
As you guessed, it's Louise Fowler.
You don't know who I'm expecting to call. His name is Henry Edwards.
Who is Henry Edwards?
Henry, I want you to meet George. George is my husband.
Hello, Henry. Do you play baseball?
But Martha, how can he be your husband? He's just a child.
Who is Henry? Henry's an architect.
That's no answer.
Henry's tall, blonde, sweet, kind, handsome, wealthy, and a non-boring man. Do you like that answer better?
I suppose this Henry person means something to you. You idealize him or some foolish thing like that.
The Reverend Martin is my ideal. After him comes Rudolph Valentino, and then the President of the United States, and my father.
But I thought you said my brother George was your ideal.
He's the best ideal I can get, Esther. I love George. The other ones I adore. Reverend Martin first.
Martha, why weren't you in Sunday school this morning?
I wasn't feeling well, Mr. Martin. You know I wouldn't miss it for anything.
Now we'll start with the story of Job. Job was a very patient man. No one had more trouble. No one had more cause to complain. But Job didn't let it bother him.
Job is one of my ideals, Esther. I put him between Rudolph Valentino and the President of the United States. George is getting farther and farther down the list. Let me speak to Job.
I'm jealous of him.
And who are you?
The President of the United States of America.
I've come to carry you away back to my tent in Hollywood Boulevard.
Rudolph Valentino. You're the one I really love.
Yes, George, I suppose you're right. I do idealize Henry somewhat. He has beautiful manners.
And he wears his clothes well.
How did you know?
Henry's bound to do perfectly all the things you've spent 19 years telling me I do badly.
Well, you probably idealize Louise Fowler. I'm sure her slip never shows. Sure her slip never shows. Never a stray hair. Never needs cleaning or pressing.
George, you press those pants so much, you'll wear them out. My teacher, Miss Warner, says a man should keep his pants pressed. Warner's the best person anywhere. But you love me, George. You love me.
Yes, I love you, Louise. But love is funny. I love Miss Warner. I love my mother. I loved, have loved Martha. Don't know what came. It's so mixed up.
And Henry is perfect and Louise is perfect, and you and I are just a couple of frumps.
Oh, don't be insulting.
I'm insulting myself.
That's because you've got a guilty conscience. You know Louise isn't worthy of you.
Very probably. Oh, very. Henry is not worthy of you.
What are you thinking about, George?
Nothing.
It's impossible to think about nothing.
All right, then, what were you thinking about?
Nothing.
You said it was impossible for one to think about nothing.
I know what I said.
And I know what I was thinking.
You said you weren't going to abdicate. But when that phone rings, you'll abdicate, all right. You'll abdicate very fast, right out the door, down the street, pick up Louise and off to the circus.
What circus?
There's only one circus. Love's the circus. The rest is counting up to 50 trillions by five.
Phooey. Love is the circus, and marriage is the sideshow, the merry-go-round.
Do you, Martha, take this George to be your lawful wedded husband?
Yes, Reverend Martin. It couldn't be you, so it has to be George.
Do you, George, take this Martha to be your loving and loving forever?
I take you, Miss Warner, to be my ever-present wife. After Venus, who comes first of all women, and after Juno, who is the greatest of all women.
You, Venus of Milo?
You're tall and handsome, and you shall be my mate, George.
I love you, Venus. You are perfect in beauty.
Prepare the wedding.
I love you, Juno.
You are wise and learned. A man to reckon and be reckoned.
Yes, I love you, Juno. Perfect in your wisdom, divine in your sympathy.
You shall be my son. Marry me, Mr. Thor, strongest man in all mythology.
The earth urge to be fed of it, enriched, grown womanly with it.
Then be my king, Tor. Love me, crush me, destroy me. Throw a mountain at me, only do not leave me.
Love is the circus. Again, I say, phooey.
That's because you're never honest with yourself, George.
Oh, think how different it is now than it was when we were first married.
The deepest wish of earth, Antony, is for the perpetual devotion of one person.
Cleopatra, in our fear, we are forever trying to hold something fast, but it escapes us. Our buildings fall down, our bodies decay, and even love is gone from our feeble fingers. I am the greatest warrior in the world, but I would give up everything to stop time.
In my arms, time stops, Antony. Let them encircle you but once, and you will see there is no time, no world, nothing but peace.
Martha, why have we changed? Why couldn't we stay as we were, young and exciting? There's a great deal in being lovable.
Oh, you're getting pompous, George.
Our life together could have been wonderful, Martha, if you hadn't always demanded things and insisted upon things.
Women have always been demanding, George.
Yes, a world full of Salomes. Every man his own John the Baptist with his head on a platter.
I would kiss thy mouth, O John.
Mouth is for the praises of the Lord, Salome.
God is love. Do you deny that?
Yes, Salome, God is love.
Then kiss my mouth and mine, the red lips of Salome. Kissing bespeaks love, and God is love.
This is sorcery. This is sacrilege.
Kiss my mouth or lose thy head.
Never ring.
I thought you said you weren't going to abdicate.
I meant it.
Then what difference does it make if the phone rings or not?
Makes none at all. Only I'd like to get it off my mind once and for all.
You are tall and handsome, George, and you shall be my mate.
I love you, Louise. Or I think I do, or I would like to, but Martha won't let me. Therefore...
And I don't intend to abdicate either. Let the phone ring. It doesn't matter to me.
Even if it's Henry?
Even if it's Henry. I'm not going to let it affect my life.
The earth urge I give you, Martha.
It's nice to be beautiful and desirable to someone, Henry. It's important, terribly important. I used to be that way to George, but now...
The trouble with us, Martha, we're restless. We're trying to realize ourselves through someone else. It can't be done. If we could only create perfect people...
Yes, and even then we couldn't be sure. Remember that movie, Pygmalion? Man created a perfect woman, and then they couldn't stand each other. Pygmalion... Come to say goodbye.
I hate to see you go, Galatea. You're so beautiful.
That is your own ego, you see, Pygmalion. Not me at all. It is yourself you love.
No, I won't let you go. You're mine. I created you, carved you out of stone, loved you so intensely the gods let you come to life. And now to have you leave me for another.
'Tis man's fate. Is also woman.
No, before I let you go, I'll destroy you.
I wouldn't bet on your ability to stay attached to something you created, George.
Oh, this love business, too confusing. Mother, father, sister, brother, sweetheart, wife, friends, miscellaneous.
Well, I admit I'm attracted to Henry Edwards.
In Sunday school, these things are not permitted.
And I admit I'm attracted to Louise Fowler.
School is where people learn things and do not become infatuated with their teachers. We'll have to transfer you to another class, George.
But I'm getting too old to change my habits and get used to another man.
Sometimes George is pale blue, and other times he's shining white.
Think of how uprooting divorce is, too. Why, we'd have to clean out the attic. It's so much simpler just to forget the whole thing.
I have to give you up, Louise. It's more convenient.
Goodbye forever, Henry. It's just too complicated to love you.
Besides, Martha, well, look at it this way. What is a marriage? Love? It's only partly that. It's things. Trifling and big. Tradition. Experience. Parents. Memories. Hope. The whole life of the race.
There's the phone, George.
Is it really ringing this time?
Yes, it's really ringing.
Well, I'm not answering.
Neither am I.
Tell you what. Let's let it ring and pretend we're not at home. We'll just sit here and enjoy the afternoon, comfortable and relaxed, like proper married people.
The Columbia Workshop has just presented an experimental drama entitled The Surreal Marriage, written by Elwood Hoffman of the CBS Division of Program Writing. The special musical score was by Alexander Semler, and the workshop director was Werner Michel. The part of Martha was portrayed by Irene Hubbard. Ted Osborne played George. Others in the cast were Ethel Everett, Alan Hewitt, Lamont Johnson, Joan Lazer, Ronnie Liss, Jack Manning, Betty Filson, and Donald Bain. Next week, the Columbia Workshop will present Horton Giddy's satire, My Life with Ernest Rule. John Becker will direct. Don Baker speaking. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.